And welcome back to Condo Craze and H-Ways. Pardon me, we're here on each Sunday at 11 on 850 WFTL in South Florida. Sorry, I'm so rough. Gosh, I'm ill. I'm Karen Curtis, here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. The firm has offices in Fort Lauderdale and is available for appointment in Orlando, Tallahassee, and Nashville. We're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make your life crazy in your condominium or HOA from one moment to the next. And we'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions. No matter where you are in the state, give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab. Right,
good morning, everybody. Hey, a little disclaimer to start the show, as you can hear in Karen's voice. Karen is sick.
Yeah.
A real trooper. I was sick the entire week. Both of us are on meds, so I wouldn't rely on any legal advice you get today, by the way. But Sharina, our board op, she did sleep in a Holiday Inn last night, so she's ready to answer all of your legal questions. Way to go, Sharina.
Thanks for the backup.
Absolutely.
In the guitar one? You slept in the guitar one?
Oh, nice. No, she was. That was actually the Hard Rock. She was there last night, yes. So was my daughter. Hey, if you're a fan of the show and like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our seminars. All of them are just about to start right after the Super Bowl. Our newsletters, updates on the law, and a whole lot more. We do a blog every single Monday for about the last 10 years now. You can find it at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's blog, pretty important, pretty unique, a primer in running your condo election, and it's about a great case that I just won last week in arbitration, and it really is a great learning case if you want to know what type of votes that you must count at your condo election. Read that case. So it's really, really a great learning case. So ironically, today we're planning on talking about what qualities do you look for in a lawyer and law firm before hiring them. And sometimes, Karen, timing is everything, because this week, President Trump hired Alan Dershowitz and Ken Starr to join his legal team. And if there ever were two attorneys who are qualified,
big time,
those are the two. No two ways about it.
I guess Michael Avenatti is in jail, so he's out of the
question. Yeah, right. Can't hire him.
So Dershowitz, he's known as one of the country's top scholars on the constitutional law. And Ken Starr, of course, was the special counsel in the Clinton impeachment proceedings.
Yeah, exactly. Even more important than that, Dershowitz is from Brooklyn, so you know right there how bright the guy is. I mean, forget about it.
Yeah, forget about
it. It's over, right.
And scrappy.
Yeah. Bright, bright guy. I read his book when he started out in school as a child. He was going to religious school, and the rabbis would approach his parents and say, you know, this kid's never going to amount to nothing unless you really get a handle on him.
Oh, man.
And he did pretty good, huh?
Yes, he did. And, you know, look who the Democrats have. Six out of the seven of their managers are on record wanting Trump impeached months before the Ukraine call was even made. So talk about coming into this thing with a bias. And four senators who are running for president are judging him.
It's insane. You know, in terms of legal teams, I really think
it's
this
a bit
is
of a
David,
conflict.
Yeah, you think? It's David versus Goliath. And like you say, a few other ironic things. Remember when the vote to impeach passed in the House and you had a few members that were starting to cheer, but Nancy gave them that death look, that death stare for cheering?
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be like a solemn ceremony. Well, here she was this week when she was actually signing the articles. She did it with that smirk on her face and then kept stopping to give out ceremonial pens.
Wow.
You saw that? So
yeah.
You talk about hypocrisy.
Made me ill.
That was it. Yeah,
I think Trump signed the China deal and the USMCA with a BIC, and she signed hers with $20,000 gold pens with her signature on it.
Amazing.
It's the signs of the time. So there's something that's even crazier going on. There are three Democrat senators who are running against Donald. Well, actually four. Bennett is one of them, too.
One also.
So yet each are allowed to serve as impartial jurors in the impeachment trial. So
you think about that for a moment. Trump got impeached for allegedly using his office to go after a political rival.
I know.
Yet here we have several senators who are actually in a race against him, and they stood up and took an oath that they're going to serve as impartial jurors in this trial. If any of them cared about the appearance of impartiality or impropriety, they would certainly recuse themselves counsel in these proceedings. But, you know, it's not going to happen, right? I'm sure Sanders, Warren, and Klobuchar, they still don't have their minds made up yet, right? I'm sure they can listen to the evidence, right?
Well, Sanders, they're trying to just destroy him again.
What else is new?
Yeah.
So, hey, you want to hear a real true but funny story along similar lines? So try to picture this. Many years ago, I represented a judge in Dade County. And to simplify, let's just say a few people owed the judge money. And I went and I filed about seven different lawsuits on behalf of this judge. And the judge, you know, was actually a plaintiff in the cases. And where did I file the cases? I filed the cases in the same courthouse where the judge actually worked. Well, unfortunately, three of the seven cases that I filed get assigned to him as the judge. Think about that for a moment. Right? So, it was bizarre.
That's funny.
Yeah. So you have a situation where he was the judge in his own case and also the plaintiff.
Can he do that?
You would think no, and of course no. But, you know, think about what happened on that day. If you think, you know, you're surprised and confused now, you had to see the defendants on the day they went to court. They're looking and they're seeing that, you know, the judge is actually the plaintiff that is also suing them. Let's just say all the cases settled.
I'm sure they did.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Pretty funny. Let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. Taking your calls, everybody. I see we got a bunch of them lined up already. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website, cdri.net. Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. And the phones are stacked if you want to give us a call. They'll probably be busy, but give us a call anyway to ask them questions about your condo and HOA. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585.
Right. Let's go to the first call of the day. Jerry in Delray. How are you, Jerry?
Yes, how are you?
Good morning.
Mr. Glazer, my question is regarding reserves. At our condo budget meeting, the board said that they were switching for unknown reasons from the straight line reserve method over to the pooling of all reserves.
Yeah.
I asked them if they were going to hold an owner's meeting to get owner's approval of this reserve change. Their answer was that only the old money would stay in the straight line reserves and only the new reserve money would go into the pool. My question is, how would the owners verify the distinction between where the money is going?
Well, first of all, they're absolutely right. That's how they do it. The board can make that vote on their own volition. They don't need a unit owner vote to do that. And so what we're talking about is the money that was already in an account, right, for the straight line reserves. The question is, now that they're switching from the straight line to the pooled, what do you do with the money that's in, like you say, that straight line bank account? And the answer is that unless the unit owners vote to move that money from the straight line to the pooling reserve, that money has to stay in the straight line, because to move it without a unit owner vote would be to use those monies for purposes for which they weren't originally intended.
And that's a no-no.
That's a no-no. So the bottom line is your board is doing it right, and you can actually ask them. Ask them for copies of bank documents, which show that the original reserve funds were not commingled with the funds from the new pooled account. Ask them for documentation showing that even if they are, in fact, commingled, that they're still accounting for them separately. I think if they did it either way, they would be fine, Jerry. So I think on this one, board did the right thing, and truck went up for the board. Next call, how about we go to Julia in Hollandale? How are you, Julia?
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a board that mismanaged 3 or 4 years without notifying the owners, and polite, we're in deficit. There are some assessments going on, but there are the words bankruptcy being thrown around.
Yes.
My question is, what's the worst if the condo goes to bankruptcy? What's the most likely, and is there any silver lining to bankruptcy at all?
Okay, yes, occasionally, and it's rare. It's rare that a association does wind up going into bankruptcy. One of them that I know that happened in Dade County was the Jade Winds Association went into bankruptcy, and they had hundreds and hundreds of units, and it got to a point, there were allegations on TV that prior directors stole all kinds of money.
Ew.
And left town with the money. There was all kinds of lawsuits that were going on, and feeling like they were left with no choice, the association did in fact file bankruptcy, and it's very, very few and far between. Because typically it's not a Chapter 7 bankruptcy that could be filed where you just erase your debts. It's typically a plan of reorganization. So it's not that you're getting out of a lot of your debts. It's that you're telling the bankruptcy court, listen, We're having a lot of problems paying our bills currently as they become due. We need some time. We need a five-year plan to kind of, or seven-year plan to kind of pay these debts back. And we want to make sure that in the interim, the water doesn't get shut off.
Right.
Right? That the cable doesn't get shut off, that the electric doesn't get shut off. So, yes, it happens, but it's very, very few and far between where you'll actually see a condo association file bankruptcy. But it does happen.
Does the county or state get involved in that if that happens? And to
nope.
what extent?
A bankruptcy judge normally appoints like a trustee to administer the assets. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that it does do to the association. A bankruptcy filing of Chapter 11 for a condominium or homeowners association is an extremely, extremely expensive venture.
Mm.
I mean, you know, six figures for sure. And it should only be done in the direst of circumstances. Why? Because the bottom line is, you know, the association does, in fact, have the power to assess.
Right.
You're running short. You have to hit the unit owners with a couple thousand bucks. And if your unit owners owe anything more than a couple of thousand bucks to you know, to straighten things out, then something was probably done wrong in the first place, because it should never get that out of hand. But can it happen? Yeah, it can happen. And, again, very, very few and far between. And I don't like when it happens in an association. Why? Because the cost of the bankruptcy proceedings alone is astronomical. And it's a shame. That just winds up going to an attorney, and where it could have gone to the creditors to begin with. So I think oftentimes it's not necessary for an association to consider bankruptcy, and they can probably get out of the situation if, again, if it was handled properly in the first place, and or if the association is ready to step up to the plate and have the courage to pass the special assessments that are necessary. Okay? Thanks for the call, Julia. Yeah, I don't like to see it. Yeah, it's a bad mark for an association to actually file a bankruptcy. How about we go to John and Stuart?
Hi, good morning. I'm trying to help a longtime resident in our condominium association who has rented for 8 years. They just found out that the association has told them that they will not renew their lease, allow the landlord, that is, to renew the lease. And they never were notified of any violations, but they said they have 20 pages of violations. Is there any recourse for the tenant?
Well, you know, we teach this in the course. The first thing is, oftentimes associations wrongfully believe that they have the right to approve and reject leases or renewal of leases. And it happens so often that when we review the governing documents, that right simply isn't there. It doesn't exist. And even if they do have the right, sometimes the documents don't say on what reasons the association has the right to screen, approve, reject. And this case law that says, well, if a board can reject for any reason or no reason at all, that's not a valid rejection provision in the governing documents. So we need the only way I can give you a real intelligent answer is to take a look at those documents and see what the screening, approval, and rejection provisions actually say. And oftentimes it's the case that it doesn't matter how many violations there are, alleged violations, the bottom line is the board doesn't have the right to screen, approve, and reject in the first place, John. So, again, the only way to know is to take a look at those documents.
If we assume, though, let's just make this the worst-case scenario, that the documents say that the board does have a right. If they've never notified them, do they, you know, would they have to show cause?
Yes.
Or would they have to send them a certified letter to this effect that they've been in violation? But, I mean, 20 pages of violations, and then all of a sudden they've never gotten anything in the mail.
Yeah, it sounds weird. I agree. But if they can back up their 20 pages of violations, you know, despite the fact that they haven't noticed the person, I still think if they can back it up, then, and they do have the right to reject for cause, I would think 20 pages of violations is sufficient cause, regardless of whether or not they actually notified the tenant. So, you know,
And can I ask you one quick question
on
the same note? If I'm selling my property and they don't like the price I'm selling it for, whether it's, let's say, for argument's sake, the only reason why I guess they wouldn't like it is if I sell for below market value.
Right.
I know they have most condominiums have the right of first refusal, meaning they can buy it from you, I guess, if it's a low figure.
Yep.
But is there any other reason why, besides first refusal, that they can reject my...
what do the governing documents say? Typically, the governing documents are going to only allow to reject for cause. Cause being, let's say, potential violent criminal history, right? That happened not too far in the past. Number one, it could be negative credit history, could be prior history of evictions or foreclosures. But your document should actually spell it out. I can tell you what you'll never find in governing documents as a reason to reject the board: the price is too low. You'll never find anything like that. There's no chance that a board has the right to reject because they don't like the sales price. Mm.
But I guess technically they do have a right to match it and buy it from
Correct.
Me instead of selling it to... Okay.
That's exactly right. If they want to step in, if they have the right of first refusal and they want to step in and exercise that right of first refusal, that's fine. Now, sometimes boards will get cute and they'll say, well, I see you just sold it to somebody, you know, for $10 or, you know, another consideration. And, you know, you did that as a means of as asset planning, estate planning. And certainly when it comes to those types of things, boards don't have the right to buy it for the same price that you may give it to a family member for in an estate planning provision. Okay?
So,
John, thanks for the call.
Thank you very
Appreciate
much.
It. How about Gail in Deerfield? Hi, Gail. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and I hope everybody gets better soon.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm a co-op under 719 statutes.
Yes.
And we're having a board vote on February 1st, and we have a new manager who, along with the papers for voting, sent along a voting by proxy. And I asked flat out at the meeting we had if we were allowed to vote by proxy, and she said yes.
Wait, what are you voting for? Hold on. What are you voting for, Gail? You're voting for board members by proxy? No, not allowed.
They're allowed. That's what I said. I sent her the rules that are not only in our governing documents, but also online there's difference. You know, it says that you can't vote by proxy. But under
so your manager is giving you the wrong advice? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And she won't, to this day, it's still going forward with, yes, they can vote by proxy.
Well,
so what happens?
At the end of the election, if somebody wants to, they're going to have the ability to challenge that election by filing a arbitration petition with the Division of Condominiums in Tallahassee. And if they do, this case is going to wind up in front of an arbitrator, and the arbitrator is going to enter a ruling that says this was done illegally, and the arbitrator, bottom line, is going to order a new election because people were voting with proxies. And when it happens, the petitioner in that case is going to also wind up with the co-op paying their attorney's fees and costs. Now, if I'm the manager, I'm going to be nervous of the fact that the association now, or the board members, are going to turn to me and say, you gave us pretty bad advice by telling us that you can do this by proxy. And if I'm the board, I'm going to tell my manager, hey, you know what? We want that money back that you just cost us.
Yeah.
So,
can I please ask you one more question? If we're governed by certain documents in our bylaws, what are the statutes online for? You know,
said, you're smart. You started this conversation by saying you're governed by Florida Statute 719, right? So that's what governs your cooperative, Florida Statute 719. And again, the proxies cannot be used for voting in the election. Okay, so that's the bottom line. Pursuant to the statute.
If there's statutes online that are not in our bylaws, what supersedes what?
The statutes will always supersede everything, okay? Always. Now, here's the problem.
Thank you so much.
The problem is that why is your association board asking your manager for legal advice? A manager,
according to
the Florida Supreme Court, is not allowed to interpret the statutes.
It's illegal.
Yeah, the minute your question starts out with, is it legal for, right? Once you start a question with, is it legal for, that question cannot be directed towards your manager. That question must, by law, by the Florida Supreme Court, be directed towards the association's council. So not only should your manager for the cooperative not answer that question, they're not allowed to answer that question, and their only response should be, sorry, I can't answer it. You have to go ask association's council. All right? Phones are still stacked. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Keep the calls coming in. 877. Less talking for Karen to do. It's better.
I love it.
Save her voice.
Oh, my God.
877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. very ill Karen Curtis with an also sickly Eric Glazer. What a pair.
Yes.
But we're here to answer all your calls and questions about anything that's happening in your condo, HOA, or co-op. And if it's crazy or you're frustrated, go ahead and give them a call, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, how about we go to the left side of the state, Ed in Cape Coral. How are you?
Hey, Ed.
Ed there? All right, if Ed isn't there, then we'll go to David in Delray.
Hey, David.
Hey, thanks, Eric.
Sure thing.
Defibrillators. Is there any law in a 55-plus community that the clubhouse must have a defibrillator?
No, not that I'm aware of. It's a good question.
That's a really good question. We have one here.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll tell you what little I do know about defibrillators. So, no, there's nothing that says, from my understanding, that you must have one, like in the clubhouse or anywhere in the common areas. But some associations say, well, we're nervous to have one.
Yeah,
because
then
suppose
there's
you
liability.
Put it up there and someone uses it and it's not used correctly and then, wasn't used when it should have been used. And can we face potential liability? And the answer to that question is no. Have one.
Yeah,
but
save a life.
Have one.
Yeah.
Definitely have one. I'll get a little personal. So I lost my brother when he was 33 years
right,
of age.
Right, right.
And the reason that we lost him was, believe it or not, there was a defibrillator. It's difficult to even tell the story. He went into cardiac arrest. There was a defibrillator in the ambulance, right? And believe it or not, the jury found that the ambulance drivers, even though there was a defibrillator sitting next to him, they didn't use it.
Why?
It's hard to believe, right? So their testimony at trial was basically, well, we didn't think that he needed it. We weren't sure that he needed it. And, but
his heart
defibrillators,
stopped.
They're all automatic defibrillators, every one of them now. So what does that mean? I do know a little something about this, obviously. What does it mean? It means that the defibrillator will not administer a jolt unless necessary.
Oh.
It's basically foolproof.
So it knows if your heart is beating.
It knows if you need it.
That is so cool. I did not know that.
So you apply it. If it needs to administer a shock, it will. If it knows that a shock is not necessary, it will not administer the shock. But the bottom line is we want to have a public policy out there that encourages the use of defibrillators. So there is a statute that grants immunity to anybody who attempts to administer a defibrillator to someone who may be in need. If you act in remote good faith when it comes to using the defibrillator, you cannot, as a matter of law, be found liable, negligent for any damages whatsoever.
But you also legally don't have to render aid.
No, there's no duty to render aid either, correct? But if you're going to render aid,
you
don't have to worry about, oh, my God, I hope I don't screw up, use it incorrectly,
that's
and get sued.
One.
You administer aid using the defibrillator, you are off the hook. It's basically a Good Samaritan statute.
That's
so
a
while,
very interesting scenario.
Yeah. So while an association is not required to have one, absolutely you should
good
have
idea.
One. And Dave, especially in a 55 and over community, especially. You can absolutely save a life.
Okay,
great phone call.
Thank you for the knowledge.
No, that story hits a little close to home, so I got no problem sharing it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. Yeah.
How can they not use a defibrillator on your brother?
Crazy story. That actually
would it have
happened.
Saved his life if they did?
Well, that's what the jury believed, yes.
Oh,
that if
man.
That if it was actually administered, the life would have been saved. And crazy story. We went to trial against the city of New York. Right pretty much after 9/11, and it was EMS who was in charge at the time when this heart attack originally happened. But after 9/11, it was taken over by the fire department. So when the case went to the jury, the entire fire department came in basically to support the drivers and their firemen fatigues, and the firemen had just been decimated. Let's just tell the story. We're on this already. As a lawyer, I can tell you it was probably the most amazing thing of my life, amazing personal experiences of my life and my legal career. So we go to trial against the city of New York, and like I said, for negligence for not using the defibrillator. And the fire department comes in after 9/11. You know, they were decimated. They lost hundreds of firemen. And they came in wearing their fire department fatigues and the pins and the buttons and the lapels and the uniforms. And again, I'll say this on the year, no problem. So here we are, you know, white Jewish family sitting in court in Brooklyn. And the jury was made up primarily of black and Hispanic people. And if we're being honest and we're talking honest, you're saying, and the drivers of the ambulance was one black and one Hispanic. So to some extent, you're saying, wow, you know, I hope the jury can be fair. And, you have a little bit of a doubt. If we're being honest about it, and I'm certainly being honest, you're like, hey, I hope that a black and Hispanic jury will be able to see through what happened here and rule against a black and Hispanic ambulance driver, especially those that are now dressed up in fire department fatigue after 9/11. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we were up against.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but... You're not asking them to run a marathon to use a defibrillator.
Yep. So we were sitting and, you know, you're nervous until the very end, and the jury comes back with a liability against the city of New York. And at that moment, I will tell you, I ran outside and the jurors are kissing me and hugging me, and I learned a lot. I really, really learned a lot as a lawyer that day from a personal and professional perspective that you can take a lot of your biases and throw them out the window. We all have biases, and to not admit it is a lie. We all have them. And, personal perceptions, how you think something's going to go down. And I learned on that day that, wow, these jurors stepped up. They did not let their personal biases get in the way. A black and Hispanic jury, I watched it, ruled against a black and Hispanic driver after 9/11 and ruled in favor of the family. And that certainly
huge.
Did a lot to this lawyer for having a belief in the jury system. I can tell you from a personal experience, it was by far the most amazing moment in my legal career. And it wasn't regarding a case that I was actually working on. It was a case that I was personally involved
in
from a real deep level. So never shared that in my dozen years or so on the radio. But, yeah, so now everybody knows what kind of happened.
And I think your brother appreciated it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. Keep the calls coming in, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Here's Jeff and Jonathan from Sherlock Tree.
Do your trees on your property look like a mess? Are they unsightly and overgrown? At Sherlock Tree Company, we know you're tired of going from company to company, hoping to find the one that gets it. At Sherlock Tree Company, we get it.
I'm Jonathan, the head arborist at Sherlock Tree Company. We've been here in South Florida since 1974, serving the Tri-County area. Our entire team is first class. We are committed to the long-term health and wellness of your trees. Please call me or any one of our other certified arborists at 954-788-4000.
Sherlock Tree has state-of-the-art equipment that is ready for action the minute we roll up on your job and what you've hired us for. Our large staff does residential, commercial, and large HOA work for some of the most notable properties in South Florida. Whether it's trimming or pruning, tree removal, new tree installation, or even if you want a whole new look, Sherlock Tree won't quit unless you are completely satisfied.
Call me, Jonathan, at Sherlock Tree Company at 954-788-4000. Check us out on the web at sherlocktree.com. That's sherlocktree.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for Center State Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, Center State Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face-to-face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? Center State Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. Center State Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Is your condo or HOA paying too much to heat the pool or spa? If so, now's the time to switch to geothermal technology with Symbiont Service Corporation. Geothermal technology with Symbiont Service is eco-friendly, green technology that harnesses the energy stored beneath the Earth's surface to heat and cool your swimming pool. Geothermal technology not only helps you reduce your carbon footprint, but rest assured, you can't beat geothermal for reliability and performance. It's even unaffected by air temperature. Best of all, Symbiont Service's geothermal solution heats like gas at a fraction of the cost and with a serviceable life expectancy of 15 to 20 years, which is 2 to 3 times as long as conventional pool heaters or more. And get this, geothermal technology by Symbiont Service can actually cool your pool in the summer months. Symbiont Service serves the entire state of Florida. Go geothermal now. Find out how Symbiont Service can heat or cool your pool and save you money. Call Symbiont Service at 800-881-4328. That's 800-881-4328. And to learn more about Symbiont Service and read the amazing customer reviews, visit geothermalflorida.com.
Segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Eric, we've almost made it.
Yes, we're almost home.
Yeah, so you are going to be busy, busy, busy next month.
Yeah, just reminding everybody really quick, the election season is here for condos and HOAs. Remember, if you don't get certified within 90 days of getting on the board, you're off the board. So take our class. We've certified over 20,000 Floridians all across the state. Our course also provides 2 2020 legal update credits for all community association managers, and it's really starting soon. It's starting, what, about 10 days from now. We kick it off February 4th at the West Palm Beach Convention Center at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo, 9 o'clock a.m. 4 days later, Karen, where are we?
You are in Tallahassee. Wow.
Yeah, at the North
Florida
Home
glutton.
Show. We teamed with them. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then I'll just call them off really fast.
Yeah.
Where we are in March and April. Just get ready. If you're in any of these cities or close by, we want to see you register. We'll be in Miami Beach. We'll be in Hollywood. We'll be in Naples.
Yep.
Again, back at Miami Beach. Tampa, Broward, West Palm Beach, Orlando, all over the state. To register for any of our seminars, again, just go to CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com, CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com, but register fast.
Yeah, don't sign those affidavits.
Oh, God forbid. Absolutely. All right, in the few minutes we got left, how about Steve in West Palm Beach? How are you, Steve?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, and best wishes to Karen to feel better soon.
Thank
you. I know it's frustrating when you can't talk.
Oh, my God. Some people like that, though.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure your husband is thrilled. So, but real quickly, the question I have, I'm a tenant in a condo, has 28 units, been a tenant for 2 years. Multiple owners have dogs. I recently got one and was informed because I'm a tenant, I cannot have a dog, even though owners have dogs, because it's in their bylaws. Is that valid? Is that
water? Steve, I hate to give you bad news, but believe it or not, there is arbitration case law out there. Let's assume there's nothing in your declaration of condominium that specifically gives tenants the right to have pets. If there's nothing in the declaration that specifically gives tenants the right to have pets, arbitration case law has held that the board can make distinctions between an owner's right to have a pet and a tenant's right to have a pet. And if you like, give us a call in the office tomorrow, 954-983-1112, 954-983-1112, and I'll try to get you a copy of that arbitration case sent over to you. But, yeah, that actually came up in this office this week, and that's the way arbitrators have seen it. They can, you can take certain rights away from tenants or not give tenants certain rights that owners are typically entitled to. Okay.
I'm dead in the water. Got to get time to move out. All right. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you. And I can tell you this, Karen. These pet cases are not going away anytime soon. I can tell you.
We love our pets.
Going through this office like crazy. Yeah. And if there's one thing I learned that over the years, people will fight harder to keep their pets than they will their spouse or their children.
And their grandchildren, yeah.
I'm telling
you're
I see it all the time. You have no idea what people are spending on cases to keep their pets. They'll just go the full distance. How about we go to James in Deerfield? How are you, James?
Hello, James.
Is it James in Deerfield?
Lee, I'm calling. When you pay your, all your dues, and if you're running for the board, you send your name in. When do you have to be free and clear of any your maintenance is paid?
I believe it's when it's on the I believe it's when the final day is to be eligible for the board. So on like the 40th day when you by the time you submit your name, you have to be paid in full. And there's always fights.
I have another fast question. Suppose we're supposed to vote on the second Thursday of February. And when they sent the papers out, they sent it to the 15th of February. But it's in our bylaws that it has to be the second week.
Okay. So
and then after that, they said, they're going to change the meeting. They changed it after they sent the papers out.
Okay. So hold on. You have a lot of questions there. So the answer to the bylaw question about having your annual meeting is if your bylaws have a specific date, meaning the second Tuesday of every February going forward, a very specific date. There is a case that was decided within the last 2 years. I believe it was a Fourth District Court of Appeal case, which handles appeals from Broward and Palm Beach County, that says your board has zero authority. They have no authority at all to reschedule a date of your annual meeting if a specific date is provided for in your bylaws. Why? Because what are they in effect doing? They're in effect amending the bylaws, right? But they're doing it without a vote. If they're changing the vote that the bylaws require, if they're changing the date that the bylaws require without a vote, then in effect they amended the bylaws illegally. So the board has no authority whatsoever to change the date of an annual meeting if the bylaws require it to be done on a specific date. Okay, hope that answers your question.
All right, thank you very much.
You got it. All right, how about we stay in Deerfield, but we go to Pat.
Thank you for taking my call, Eric.
Sure.
I have a kind of a similar question. What's the difference between a resolution to do something and amending your documents to do something?
Okay, so a resolution could be is done only by a vote of the board. In other words, it's a board resolution. So for example, let's say the board has the authority to screen, approve, and reject, but they don't know what criteria they should use going forward, right? But they do have the authority to screen, approve, and reject for cause.
Mm-hmm.
So the board may want to pass a resolution, meaning that's done simply by a vote on the board, to say, okay, we resolve going forward that since we have the right to screen, approve, and reject, this is the criteria that we will use going forward. Or we want to make rules and regulations regarding use of the common areas. So the board resolves that the following new rules and regulations shall go into effect regarding use of the common areas. That's a resolution, and it's only done by board vote, and it's done for those things that only need to be done by board vote. Okay. Now, many things cannot be done by board resolution. They can only be done by an amendment to the governing documents. So we teach this all the time at the seminar.
Yeah, this has to do with doors and windows.
Yeah, well, here's how boards get in trouble. Boards sometimes get in trouble by making a resolution when they really needed to amend the governing documents. So let's say, for example, your governing documents say that unit owners are entitled to one pet. But the board says, you know what, we're getting tired of all these pets in the community. Even though the governing documents say everybody is allowed one pet, we're going to make a resolution that says no pets going forward for anybody else. Can the board do that by resolution? Absolutely not. Why? Because the superior document, right, your declaration, already allows unit owners to have one pet. So they can't change that by resolution. They would need to amend the governing documents, typically with a two-thirds or a three-quarters vote. So that's the big difference between a resolution and an amendment.
Can the next board amend that, change that resolution?
Say that again?
Can the new board, can a different board?
Yes, a new board can come in and can change the resolution of a prior board. Yes, they can. That's exactly, that's absolutely right. Whereas an amendment would need a vote of the owners. Wait, hold on, Pat. Yeah. So an amendment would need a vote of the owners. A resolution can be changed by an incoming board. You're 100% right.
Got
okay?
it.
Thanks for the
okay.
call.
Thank
All right.
you, Eric.
You got it. How about we go to Steve? How are you, Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how can we help?
I had a couple quick questions for you. One is I had a roommate, and the board actually kicked my roommate out. Can I sue them?
I don't know what your governing documents say. Did the governing documents say that your roommate needed to be screened as well? Was your roommate
screened?
He was screened and approved?
He was allowed in. A year later, they refused to renew his court lease, but he was a roommate, not
okay.
a tenant.
What was the reason that they refused to renew the lease for him?
They said they didn't like his girlfriend or something.
Oh,
and I was...
Well, again, I don't know what happened, but...
She had a... Yeah.
Yeah, but assuming that the board had the authority to screen, approve leases and lessees, then, you know, depending upon what they had on his girlfriend, if she was constantly creating a problem at the association and the board kept complaining about it, nothing was being done, yeah, I think the board has a right to say, no, you can't, that we're not going to renew the lease.
I got the president of the board doesn't like me, so no matter who I get in there, he gets some reason to get him out of there.
Well, that's a different story.
Is that somebody to talk to you on the side? I mean,
yeah,
if I can call your office up and...
Absolutely. Give us a call, 954-983-1112. Give us a call during the week. And, yeah, those are types of issues that we deal with all the time. Okay?
Okay, I got two other quick questions for you.
Go right ahead.
I can do two other quick questions.
Quick.
One is I actually own the place. I got a roof leak.
Yeah.
Now, I've had a roof leak for 14 years that they refused, that they wouldn't fix. I finally re-sheetrocked my place 2 years ago for the third time. And again, 6 months later, had another massive roof leak. Is that something that they're responsible for under gross negligence?
Again, if it's a condominium, typically the roof is the responsibility of the association. So there's no question that they're responsible for a roof leak. But I'm going to tell you, if you knew about it for 14 years and didn't do anything about it.
I sent certified letters in.
Yeah. You know what the problem is? I actually lost a case once many years ago. I mean, you talk about losing a tough case. This case I lost because my case was actually too good. I actually had video that the board was ignoring a problem for 7 years. And you know what the judge ruled? Mm. Judge ruled you had 5 years to file your claim.
Mm.
So I'm like, wait a minute. So now after 5 years, you're telling me they have no obligation to fix the roof anymore?
Mm.
So case dismissed.
Don't
Why?
Sit on
because
it.
The plaintiff waited
okay.
too long
in
to two, actually bring their case.
In 2013, they did replace a flat roof area.
Right.
Okay, and it's still leaked after that. So I hired somebody to fix it, and they said they can sue me because I hired somebody to fix their mistake.
And that could be. You shouldn't be fixing common. You shouldn't be fixing common. Steve, you got to let me talk. Cut Steve off so the rest of everybody else can hear. Bottom line is, if you heard what Steve just said, Steve went and fixed the common area roof. You can't do that.
No.
Yeah, you can't.
First, he's not licensed.
And I don't know if he did hire anybody that's licensed, but you can't go out and fix the common elements by yourself. That's that. And if the board won't do it, then you sue the board. And I can tell you what you don't. You don't wait 14 years to do it. Okay, but pretty much brings us to the end of the show. Karen, you made it.
I did. I made it. And I just wanted to bring up one little story that happened this week out of Michigan because
yeah, sure.
I'm from Michigan.
Yeah.
And you know, there's really nice people in Michigan. But this guy bought a couch at a thrift store.
Right.
and he found $43,000 hidden in a cushion.
Oh, my God. You talk about hitting the jackpot.
He called the thrift store, and he goes, who's it belong to? It belonged to some girl whose grandfather died. He gave it back to her.
He gave back the money?
Yeah, would you?
That is a great... Would I give back
that's
the money?
That's a Michigander right there.
Yeah, that's a really great thing to do.
Isn't that nice?
I'm a big believer in karma. I got a feeling that $43,000 is going to come back to him more than once.
Yeah, $43,170. She didn't even know it was in there. She donated the couch. He kept the couch, but...
I don't think I'm going to get that if I go to Rooms to Go. Right?
No, I don't think so.
Probably not going to happen. Yeah.
What a great story.
That is. That person really deserves a pat on the back.
He says, I just didn't feel right keeping it.
Fantastic. Guys, register for our seminars. They're coming up in about a week. Remember, go to condocrazeandhoas.com. Also remember, if you need help during the week, after the show, give Glazer and Sachs a call. 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. Karen, get better.
Thank
rest
you.
Up this week.
Will
Sharina,
do.
Thanks for filling in. And
we'll
talk to you
Tannehill.
Again next Sunday. Tannehill would be a great story today.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great week, everybody.